Our message will take place mostly from the book of 1 Samuel, but our text will come from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. The story goes of a man who, known as a French philosopher, supposed to be a great thinker, a man who had great ideas, some sort or another. A couple of his ideas that were not nearly so great, statements that he made, the Bible will be as outdated as the almanac, one of his statements. He also said, one more century and there will be no more Bibles on the earth. It was in this man's house after his death that it became a place where Bibles were printed and has been used for many generations for the purpose of printing the scriptures. Voltaire was a man who had great swelling words, but he was also a man who fought with God. So our text comes from Acts chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. And it's the words of a man named Gamaliel. Now Gamaliel was a doctor of the law, and he was a man of reputation. But he was an unbeliever. Sometimes we find that profound truth is found in the mouth of an unregenerate man to the glory of God. Now Samuel, from the book of 1 Samuel, was a man of prayer. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 9, it says that Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. He called unto the living God on behalf of the people of Israel. God heard him. He was a man mighty in the place of prayer. Samuel was also a man who lived a life of holiness before men. The elders of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 8 came to Samuel and they said, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. For his sons turned aside after lucre. They took bribes and they perverted judgment. Their ways were contrary to Samuel's ways. Samuel was a man who walked in holiness of life, but his sons followed him not in this manner, but they sought to satisfy their own flesh. Samuel was a man who declared the righteous judgment of God to Saul, the king of Israel. Now, it's not everybody who will speak as plainly to a king as Samuel spoke to Saul, but Samuel spoke plainly, and he said, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. Now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, because thou hast not kept the commandment which the Lord commanded thee. Samuel was a man who was obedient to the word of God. So the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel, fill thine horn with oil, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king from among his sons. And when David was come, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. We find all of these things concerning Samuel in his life and ministry for the children of Israel. We also learn of Saul in these pages. We read that because of Saul's disobedience and rebellion before the Lord as king, God took Saul's kingdom from him and he gave it to David. And so our story continues, the narrative continues through the book of 1 Samuel. After David had killed Goliath, Saul set him over the men of war And whithersoever David went, he behaved himself wisely. David was accepted in the eyes of the people and Saul's servants. The occasion came after the slaughter of the Philistines that women came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul. And they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So they were rejoicing in the accomplishments of the king, but the greater accomplishments of the king's servant, David. Saul made note of it, and he was wroth. And he said, what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul's fight against God had begun. Saul eyed David. He eyed him. He kept his eye on him. He watched David from that day forward. This was the man that would take his place. Saul did not forget God's words from Samuel. He knew that his kingdom had been taken from him and that it was given to another one. Saul dug in his heels and he was going to fight the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And David played the harp as he had at other times to soothe Saul. But on this occasion there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and he raised the javelin up and he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. But David avoided out of his presence twice. On two occasions, Saul sought to smite David to the wall with his javelin. I do not believe that Saul failed because he had bad aim or he was poor with the javelin. I think that David had his eye as much on Saul as Saul had his eye on David. And David avoided out of his presence. But Saul, in his own efforts and his own attempts to kill David with his javelin, was not finished with this battle against one whom he considered his enemy. Saul hoped next that the Philistines would kill David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, he made David captain over 1,000 men, and he sent him out to fight against the Philistines. He told David, you don't have to come up with a dowry to marry my daughter. You can become the king's son-in-law by killing enough Philistines, and that will make you a sufficient dowry to be able to marry the king's daughter. David says, hey, there's the deal. I will kill Philistines and I get to be the king's daughter. But Saul's hope, Saul's desire was that David would fall at the hands of the Philistines. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Saul was the more afraid of David. Saul became David's enemy continually. This man who chose to fight against God. 1 Samuel 19, and David went out and fought the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter. The evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul after this had taken place, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with his javelin. David slipped away and escaped that night. The third time Saul sought David's life, the Philistines hadn't killed him. Saul had tried. The Philistines were not successful. Saul tries yet again to take this one whom God had said, another one's going to take your throne, Saul. Saul wasn't finished. He sent messengers that very night to lie in wait at David's house to arrest him. But Saul's daughter, David's wife, warned David of the liars in wait. And Saul escaped out a window and headed off to another place. We read in 1 Samuel 19 of Saul's expressing his displeasure with his daughter. How could you help this man escape from me? His daughter betrayed him in his efforts slay this one. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 20, we read that Jonathan entreated his father on David's behalf. Jonathan was a prince in Israel, a man of great renown, a man who walked with God and accomplished great things for the glory of God. And he entreated his father on David's behalf, seeking to convince Saul of David's loyalty. Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. "Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion? As long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom." Saul knew very well who David was. Saul knew very well that he was fighting against the word of God. Samuel has said, because of your rebellion against God, because you have turned away from God, because you refuse to obey the word of God, your kingdom is taken from you. And Saul knew it. And Saul said to Jonathan, "This man will keep you from the throne." He said, "Fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." Saul knew that he was fighting against the word of God. Jonathan said, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" And Saul cast a javelin to smite him. He sought to kill his own son in that hour. In this chapter, and at this point in the narrative, 1 Samuel, David goes into hiding. Well, there is much more to tell in the story of Saul's effort to kill David, but we'll stop in the progress of that story at this point. But we see that Saul sought to slay David with a javelin on at least three occasions that we know of. He sought to slay David at the hands of the Philistines, at the hands of his servants. He sought to have his daughter betray David into his hands. He sought to have Jonathan betray David into his hands. At every turn, Saul is frustrated. His efforts to defy the word of the living God are stymied. They're stopped. They are blocked. Every time, without exception, he cannot accomplish what he's trying to do. God has said that there's going to be someone else who takes your throne. He said through Samuel, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and given it to thy neighbor that is better than thou." And even though that was something that didn't happen for years, all through those years, Saul was fighting and fighting and fighting. He fought against God. And for all of his effort to fight against God, he always found himself on the short end. Something that this man desired that his son and his daughter bring innocent blood upon their own heads and betray David into his hands. But this was a desire that he would encourage his children, grown though they were, to do that which was evil against God and against David. Just as it's true for Saul, as it was true for Saul, it is true for you and me this evening. You cannot fight against God and prevail. You cannot set yourself against his word, his judgments, his truth, that which is set forth in his eternal word, and hope that you'll prosper. Saul's hounding of David went on for years. You'll notice 1 Samuel 14:47. "So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the kings of the Philistines. And whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them." All through Saul's reign as king, he was still fighting the enemies of the people of Israel. He was conducting himself as a king against the enemies of his nation. And he was victorious. He vexed them. He troubled them. His enemies were on the run. But in between these battles with these enemies on every side, Saul took up this vengeance against David, and he would hound him around Israel. So he was continuing and he was prospering in a measure as king. But God had spoken very specifically to Saul, and he said, "You have rebelled against me, and I'm taking your kingdom." And all of his effort to undo what God had said was only frustrated. It was only brought to naught. He had a measure of success. And you can feel, I've got a measure of success, even though I'm not paying any attention to God, even though I'm not regarding his word, even though I'm disregarding matters in his word. I have some success. So what you're saying is not true. Oh, but I am true. That proves my very point. All of his effort was brought to naught. You can say, I don't care what the Bible says. Or I'll find another road to heaven than the one the Bible sets forth. I'll seek a different way of worship from what the Bible has set down. I will establish my own righteousness and not the righteousness of the Word of God or the righteousness of faith. I heard a man say, public figure, said on the radio, he said, as long as you're not hurting somebody else, this was his standard of righteousness, then what you do is okay, as long as you're not hurting somebody else. This is his own standard of righteousness. He's fighting against God is what he's doing by saying such a thing. God's righteousness is made known to us in the Ten Commandments, and it's made known to us through the life, person, and the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is not made known to us by our own thoughts or our own imaginations. And it's a form of fighting against God. It'll not prosper. Maybe some appearance of prosperity or some areas where things seem to be going along all right. The devil's lies are slippery and treacherous. Saul, the determination of his will and of his mind, had set himself against God. He knew full well what was declared against him, but he did not prosper. In Acts chapter 8, we read of another Saul, a different Saul altogether. He's known as Saul of Tarsus and became known as Paul the Apostle. But in Acts chapter 8, the very beginning of the chapter, we read that he is breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He sought and obtained letters from the leaders of the Jews in Jerusalem to be able to go to Damascus. And while he was at Damascus, he was going to find any that were followers of Jesus. And any that he found, whether they be men or women, he would bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he journeyed to Damascus. But on the way to Damascus, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the answer was, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." This man, Saul, in the book of Acts, he was fighting against God. This business of kicking against the pricks, these were tools that farmers used when they had camels or donkeys or oxen pulling a plow through the field. Well, sometimes those critters didn't want to pull the plow through the field. And so they'd stab them with a goad, stab them in the haunches or in the ankles, in the back of the legs, while they kick against that. They don't like being stabbed that way, but it may go forward. You're not supposed to be standing still here. The Lord says to Saul, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Or in the words of that Gamaliel, this ungodly man, an unregenerate man, he said, if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply, or lest perhaps, ye even be found to fight against God. Saul of Tarsus, fighting against God. But unlike the Saul who was king of Israel, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. And it was this Saul of Tarsus who became Paul the Apostle, who wrote most of the New Testament. And he wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That you submit yourself fully and completely to the truth of God. That nothing reserved, nothing is held back, but my whole body is given unto his service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, as ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is Paul's answer to Saul's fight. Oh, Saul set himself. He wanted Jonathan to be on the throne, and David must be eliminated. Oh, God had said, no. Your kingdom will be taken from you. Your lineage will come to an end. This will not be passed on because of your rebellion, Saul. All of his effort to fight with God was met with frustration and discouragement and anger. But you cannot fight with God and prosper. But oh, there is great prosperity for those who present their bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, I submit myself fully to your word, to the authority of your Son. Rule and conquer me in my life and my stubborn will, that I might do that which is pleasing in thy sight. For I have no hope in any other but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I claim him as my own. There is no place else to turn. There's no place else to look but to the person of Jesus Christ. Would you find yourself fighting against God? Or would you submit yourself to his rule and his righteousness? Shall we all pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for that which is set forth in your word. And these words that are here before us, Lord, draw us nigh to Jesus Christ, that we might submit unto thee, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.